SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Sorry about yesterday. That was a little annoying. the Comcast people, they were all interested when I said, that there's a Comcast outage. What's happening? And then not a peep from them. And I'm not even sure Deja could probably tell us what time they restored service to Broward County. But it was too late to help us, so we missed yesterday. And we'll make up for it today. There is a lot of news, obviously. Breeders' Cup stuff is top of mind, and that includes some decisions and some horses that aren't going to participate, and that includes even another retirement, obviously Preservationist, last week. But the news, the Disco Partner, you can cross him off your potential turf sprint participation list. He's going to be retired. I would love to talk to the Generazios, Christoph Clement. He's going to stand in New York and should be welcome. Meanwhile, outside of that, we've got the weekend recapping to do, and that includes a lot of Woodbine. And we're going to talk, in fact, this first hour to both Kevin Attard and Mike Keough. And I was ready to tell you, actually, it worked out okay because Mike Keough couldn't join us yesterday. But the results at Woodbine were really, it was a great day of racing. And David Simcock's Desert Encounters performance was amazing, actually, considering how he spotted the field and then just burst through to repeat in the Canadian International. But the other two performances, Starship Jubilee winning the E.P. Taylor, and for Attard, and this is really the late part of the season, has been terrific for him and for Starship Jubilee. So I'm looking forward to talking to Kevin. In fact, I was going to get him after she won the prep, so it worked out just as well. The story, though, that as great as Desert Encounters' performance was, the story came in that Near Arctic. And City Boy, and on Friday with Ron Gierkink, I said that his presence was interesting from a FIG standpoint. He was a fit. And, you get horses like this that, are getting their first big opportunity and are progressive. And, a lot of times you gotta take advantage. It went off at a big price, and there's a couple of elements to this. Jesse Campbell, who is retiring at the end of the meet, and Mike Keough, who has been fighting some health issues. So we'll talk to Mike, and I thought that was, considering that I was interested in City Boy, I thought that was a pretty cool result. The two grade ones and the grade two Near Arctic. The other big races, of course, the Queen Elizabeth and Cambier Park. And boy, oh boy, I wasn't trying to beat her per se, personally. I just didn't see the pace situation and how it was going to play out. I certainly didn't expect her to grab the lead and just go. But that's all the credit to John Velasquez, who's has there been somebody, I mean, I suppose other than Rosario, is there somebody that has had a better, it's a second half. It's a little bit less than second half because Johnny just sort of came to life in mid-August. So another big win for Johnny Gambier Park and Chad Brown and Larry Best. And it's good for Larry Best. It's great for him to win a race like this. And, you know, that's what he's gotten into the game for. And, you know, the way he's approaching it from a buying standpoint. So the Queen Elizabeth to Chad and Larry Best, Gambier Park, the Medaglia Filly, and Johnny aboard. And also, of course, at Keeneland on Friday, the Buffalo Trace, Franklin County, and Barry Irwin and partners at Team Valor. Kind of a, not a quandary. It's a nice problem to have, as they say. Alexandra, just another dynamic North American effort, and she bursts through under Rosario, who I think it's Andy, right? The Andy who's in town, by the way. We'll talk about the sale in a second, but yeah, Andy has said he thinks Joel Rosario might be the best turf sprint rider in history. Forget just on the scene these days, but Rosario gauged it perfectly. Alexandra burst through. Morticia had done a lot of the heavy lifting had to settle. But now they're going to decide, do they chip in for $100,000? And I'm sure the partners would love to go. They're weighing, I'm sure Drysdale weighing in with Barry Irwin on Alexandra. And you know, a couple of our partners, in fact, Steve Garland and Dr. Miller down in Binghamton, part of Alexandra and enjoying it. And, you know, tomorrow with Sid, I'll bring up Animal Kingdom. And, in fact, if we reach out to Barry, Animal Kingdom was sold and is heading to Japan. If you didn't see that, I'll talk to Sid about it tomorrow. And, of course, going back to Thursday, we mentioned it on Friday, but in the Jessamine, that Sweet Melania off to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf. The other action, there were some performances that really kind of opened eyes. If you have not seen Spun to Run winning that Mike Bellezzi mile Saturday at Parks, go pull that up, because we've been talking about Spun to Run and how progressive he's been. He's been trying the heavy heads. This was obviously a little softer spot, but he was spectacular and is a horse really on the come. Late season developer, Paul Matisse, and we owe Paul, we'll certainly hear from Paul in the next couple of weeks leading into Breeders' Cup, but Paul said he thinks that may have been as good as any performance by a three-year-old this year. I mean, from a fig standpoint, got a 110 buyer, but if you watch just the way he did it, under just a hand ride and geared down and was really, really good. John Service and Will Schwartz's mainline stables, Someday Jones, was a good second. In fact, that's how you know that the Spun to Run performance, frankly, was legit, because Someday Jones is running 99 buyers, and you know, he ran his race. And so the spread between Someday Jones and Spun to Run make it, you know, pretty clear what the winner did. So going back, if you go back to that press conference at Monmouth, where Guerrero was just, he couldn't gush enough. He couldn't say enough nice things about Spun to Run and what he thought about him. And it really feels like this will be a horse going forward. We'll see what they do I think you got to think about Cigar Mile. I know that there's easier spots, but based on that performance, I don't see how you just gloss over that. Elsewhere, plenty of other results to sink in. I want to mention John Sheriffs, who, of course, was with us last week. We talked about Honor AP, whose impressive debut. Horse had no right to be as good early at a short distance as he was in that debut behind Ginobili. Well, as John had mentioned, they were looking to that spot that came up on Sunday. And boy, oh boy, Honor AP could not have looked better. We'll talk to John White later. We'll get some impressions from John, 91 buyer for the son of Hollywood Story and Honor Code. Really impressive. And I made a suggestion right after the race. I asked John, I sent a query to John. You got to think that the Los Al Futurity, right? That would be a natural for him. So we'll see. We'll wait for word. A couple of other results from the weekend. New York, we won't talk to Andy today. I mentioned he's on his way up for a couple of days off up to Saratoga. And a lot of people at Saratoga, because of the sale that starts in about 45 minutes. The start of the sort of the mixed sale season to a degree, because there's weanlings, there's yearlings, there's broodmare prospects, broodmares in foal, broodmares who failed to get in foal, etc. Fun catalog, and things will kick off in less than an hour over at the Pavilion. And there's a lot of people in town. Yesterday, after the aborted attempt to produce a broadcast, and Deja tells me that Comcast did not restore service until last night in Broward County. So they had an all day, everybody in the area down there, unbelievable. We had a power outage here, actually, last night for, I don't know, 45 minutes. I got to use the Coleman lantern that Tina and I bought it was like a tent sale up in Lake George. And we bought a Coleman lantern because we do so much camping. But so I got to walk around the house like, you know, like Ichabod Crane or who is it that walks around with the lantern? Anyway, after we couldn't get the show, I had to go get my eye checked. Little House on the Prairie. Good, Deja. That's very good. All good reports, and thanks again to Dr. Falk and Dr. Greenberg down at Retina Consultants in Albany. They say the thing has healed. It couldn't be better. And in fact, they said, go ahead and get a new prescription for the glasses. So I was very, very pleased. Then we ended up after that, so thanks to them. They've done a great job. And of course, Dr. Barbie, she's contributed mightily to my recovery. So thank you, Tina. She's taking all the credit, by the way. We then got to Saratoga because we were we had birthday greetings to pass along to our friend Jen. And then we went over, and we ended up actually at Solivo, which we had to eat at the bar. And we had tried to get in all summer long, and even before the season started. They're on Phyla, and just wonderful. And they're big racing fans. That's why the family came to Saratoga to semi-retire, but then they opened the joint. The food was terrific. So thanks to the Solivos, and we'll be back. Looking forward. Met almost everybody, right? I think I met 3 out of 4. So that was fun last night. But there's lots of people in town, including, I look up and there's Carolyn Conley came over to say hi, and she's in town with her supplement business that she's working with. So we'll take a break. We'll start now. Kevin Attard, Mike Keogh in this hour, Johnny D, much, much more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a troubled man, changed by the things I do.
Back at the races. And a couple of things waiting for, we'll connect with Kevin. I think, right, give it another minute, Dej. Oh, you got him. Okay, good. I have got some things we got to talk about. We're going to have Guy Torsiglieri from Far Hills. And, of course, Saturday, and you probably have not seen the draw yet for the Grand National, but because the PPs, I think they're going to wait till they go final, and then the PPs will show up. And, of course, there's betting. You've got widespread access to the card at Far Hills on Saturday. $450,000 Grand National that has drawn a field of 13. And in fact, the whole card is spectacular Saturday at Far Hills. Weather, I think, is looking nice. And we'll talk to Guy Torsiglieri from the Far Hills race meeting at about 10:30, and we'll get everything laid out. But I will mention a passing. And over the weekend, the word spread. Todd Marks, the photographer, Todd had heard from Jack Fisher that good night shirt at the age of 18. Hall of Famer and just an exceptional a season that is tough to rival. That 2008 campaign that he had with four, it was 5 for 5 with four grade ones and all the kind of other than Saratoga, all the ones that you'd want. He won the Colonial and he won the Iroquois and the Lonesome Glory and the Grand National and the Son of Concern. That was actually bred by Dr. Bowman and his wife in Maryland. In fact, I think at some point I had a conversation with Dr. Bowman about Goodnight Shirt, about breeding him and how that happened. And wasn't able to get it done on the flat. But, boy, when Jack Fisher and actually Liz Merriman, had him as well, but Jack Fisher turned him into an absolute terror. So, good night shirt, and I'm sure we'll talk to Jack at some point about him. Kevin Attar joins us, and Starship Jubilee, talk about, you know, turning into a tiger. He kind of knew that it was there for her all year. She had a little bit of bad luck along the way, but all the dots started to connect just in the last few starts. And Kevin, congratulations on the E.P. Taylor win.
Good morning, and thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You know, it was one of those circumstances earlier in the spring and summer, and the Nassau and the Dance Smartly, and even when you came to Saratoga, it was easy to rationalize why she didn't win. But it doesn't make you feel any better, you and the Blue Heaven people.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when we came up for the Nassau, I really thought she was ready to kind of run a big race, and she just kind of got run down late. It was a little disappointment, but you know, she kind of bounced back and ran second to Holy Helena, who's not a bad horse. So there was no disgrace in that. And then she kind of finally started to kind of, you know, train a little bit stronger. And we kind of got rained off the turf and allowance right here where we were looking to kind of get her confidence back. And so we kind of made a last-minute pitch to Saratoga for the Boston Spa. And she ran a good race, got beat a half a length that day, and then kind of got on that winning streak, and we topped it off with that E.P. Taylor on Saturday.
And the thing that I thought was notable, you know, her going into the, let's say, into the fall, and particularly running back in the Canadian after winning it last year. And when she won it last year, it was a career best performance. And then after, you know, getting corralled in the E.P. Taylor try a year ago, you think to yourself, well, now she's run another big Canadian. Does she regress off that effort?
Yeah, you're always concerned when they run that big. But, I mean, she come out of that race, the Canadian, in great shape. And we gave her a nice easy breeze a couple weeks later, followed it up with a little bit of a little bit more strenuous one a week out from the E.P. Taylor. And, you know, she's just been thriving. Her appetite's good. She looks really well. She kept a lot of weight on this year. And I mean, they're all good signs of a horse kind of, you know, I mean, flourishing at that moment, right?
No doubt. And the fact that she's a 6-year-old, you know, you when you get to 5 with a horse and you let them mature, a horse or a gelding, with a mare, it's not surprising necessarily, but for her to maintain this form, you know, as a mature horse, as a mature mare, it's really impressive. And you basically got her to this level, and she just has clicked along.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to see. You know what I mean? It's not easy keeping them, you know what I mean, this good for that long of a period of time, but she's been real good to us. And, I mean, arguably, obviously, this has probably been her best season.
it's you win a grade one. You know, that part of the story, you know, clearly you know, she had already established real value as a broodmare prospect. But you add this and it just it's a cherry on the sundae. And of course, she also blasts through the $1 million earnings mark.
Yeah, definitely. It's done a lot for her, and it also, I think, puts her in the running for possibly Horse of the Year here up in Canada for our Sovereign Awards, you know, the kind of equivalent to the Eclipse. So we're excited. It was my first grade one, the owner's first grade one, the jockey's first grade one. So there's a lot of happy people all around.
Well, this is one of those stories that is always worth relating and you know, laying out. I mean, talk about the opportunity to even pick this horse out, and you know, she's turned into one of those great claim stories.
Yeah, you know, when you're claiming, you're never thinking this is possible. That's for sure. You know, you're hoping to claim a horse where in a few weeks' time you're back at the races and possibly winning and kind of recouping some of your investment back. And so, you know, she just got real good at Gulfstream after we claimed her. She kind of went on a good winning streak. And then by the time we came up to Woodbine, when the Gulfstream meet was over, you know, there wasn't much to run her other than the Nassau. And at that point, we had nothing to lose. She owed anybody, you know, I mean, nobody nothing. And so we gave it a shot. And sure enough, she comes up and runs huge and wins. So she just kind of went off on a good win streak there, followed by the Dan Smartly. You know, she's just she's everything we've thrown at her. She's taken it and you know, exceeded expectations.
What about her was intriguing as a claim prospect?
She just she had been predominantly racing at 5/8. And, you know, at Gulfstream, it's tough to claim horses. You get outshook a lot. And we had been kind of going into the box a bunch of times. And when she came up, her form looked good. I liked it. It looked like she wanted to stretch out. She had just kind of won going 7/8. Was claimed that day, brought back. I should say 7.5, I think it was. Brought back at the same price. And I said, you know what? You know, she's been pretty consistent. Seems like she's appreciating the extra distance, and maybe there's a little bit of a room for improvement just because she's running a little bit further now.
Amazing. And you know, the distance question is interesting because you've been unafraid to, you know, to try her at all kinds of trips.
Yeah, to be honest, like a mile a quarter is be, you know what I mean, is always in the back of my head. I think a little further than she wants to go. She's won at that distance in the past. But when the EP Taylor rolls around, you're always saying to yourself, man, I wish it was a mile and eighth. You know, I mean, that extra eighth of a mile is going to get to her a little bit. So, you know, she on Saturday, Louis gave her a great ride. She rated nicely. The pace wasn't too keen early. And, you know, she's got such a great turn of foot that it seems like at the top of the stretch, she's able to kind of kick away, put a little distance between herself and the field. And it almost gets the other horses kind of spinning on their feet trying to catch her.
It's a fascinating, it really is a fascinating set of PPs because, you know, she also doesn't seem to care what kind of footing she gets. You know, sometimes you're looking for excuses or explanations for performances. You say, oh, well, she caught yielding and she caught, you know, she caught off going. But that's really not the case with her. And certainly there's a big difference between the Woodbine turf course and the turf course at Gulfstream.
Yeah, no, most definitely. She's very versatile. You know, she's run on tighter courses. She obviously likes, you know, I mean, this long, swooping, long stretch that we have. She's just all heart. She's just a racehorse. You know, doesn't have the flashy pedigree that some other horses have, but she has. She makes up for her size and heart and determination.
You know, and you mentioned the first grade one. I didn't realize it was your first grade one, but you know, for Blue Heaven, they and I see their names. I mean, they've had some nice horses.
Yes, definitely, definitely. But you know, that grade one is it's not easy to achieve, and those races usually come up pretty tough. So everybody's really fortunate and happy to be in that position now to kind of join that club.
Well, and also fold in Louis Contreras and his part in this, and you know he has shared her. There's been occasions where you've spread around the wealth with her in terms of rides.
Yeah. Louis picked up the mount late last year, I guess, in the Canadian, and he's rode her ever since here at Woodbine, and the two of them have got along real well. It doesn't seem like she's too hard to get along with anyways, but he gave her a phenomenal ride on Saturday.
What do you have in mind, and what's the campaigning ideas with her? Or is this one of those circumstances where you put a horse like this in a broodmare prospect sale and she's gonna fetch a lot of money? What's everybody thinking?
Yeah, to be honest, she came out of the race in real good shape. I'm gonna talk to the owners shortly, and we're gonna discuss the game plan. I don't think they're interested in selling her. They bought her last year with the intention of breeding her. And so everything she's done to this point now from the day they bought her has obviously been just a great bonus. And like you said, she's kind of really increased her value. So, so we're going to kind of discuss things, and we'll see what's available and try to do what's best for her.
Well, it's a wonderful story right from the origins, from the claim, and with these steady parade of top level efforts against really good fillies and mares in the Northeast, from really the whole seaboard, from Gulfstream to Saratoga to Woodbine. And I suppose we got to fit in a couple of minutes about the Ullwellings and Pumpkin Rumble.
Yeah, he ran a real good race. I was very happy with his performance. That was a tough group one for him. He wasn't disgraced by any means. He got, beat 3 3/4 of a length. It was one of those circumstances where the race is coming up, like we're at home. And, the ULAs have been great to train for. And, we discussed it. And instead of kind of putting him on a van, shipping him somewhere else, we just figured it'd probably be easier just to run him here. And like I said, I was really happy with his performance. He's been doing really well. That horse, he's 8 years old, and he's still kind of competing at that high level. So we've got a couple of races now for him here at Woodbine to kind of cap off the season, and hopefully he can repeat his victory in the Valedictory at the end of the meet.
Well, I look at the list of earners for you, and with the mayor, your second seven-figure earner, and she's closing in on Melnick.
Yeah, she is. So, it's just nice. So, those horses, they were all kind of, obtained through the claim box, and it's been a pretty special ride with all of them.
Well, Kevin, delighted for Starship Jubilee to the Canadian, the second Canadian win back in September. This time, the E.P. Taylor goes her way, really in control, in command all the way around. Congratulations on that first grade one, and many more to come with her or anybody else. I appreciate the visit.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Kevin Attard, everybody, and, of course, the whole family up there, they're one of the first families of Canadian racing, and I didn't realize it until Kevin said it, that was his first grade one. Starship Jubilee, wire to wire, more or less. I mean, they were sort of, there was a little grappling going on early, but Contreras took control. That's another thing about her, actually. She doesn't have to have the lead. She's versatile that way. It's funny too, if you look back, I'm just looking further down the page, you know, she established herself right away with, as Kevin mentioned, with the Nassau win and the dance smartly, but then she got beaten the Claiming Crown. In the Claiming Crown tiara, she got caught by a martini glass in Peru. That's pretty funny. And after that, what else? So she's got one, two, three, four. She's got five graded stake wins, capped off by the grade one on Saturday. We're going to go to the break here momentarily, and we're going to come back with Mike Keough. But as I mentioned, I wanted to slip in news as we go. And one of the stories, of course, that came out from the weekend, Florent Giroux, an accident during training hours and on Sunday, and a broken sternum. So he's out an indefinite. They're seeing some specialists, and we'll see what Doug Bradar updates everybody. But best wishes to Florent on bad timing, weeks out from Breeders' Cup. But don't know if he's. I mean, that you would think sternum. That's got to be tough. You know, when you're swinging your arms and using them. You know, they're an extension of the chest, so we'll see what they have to say. We've got plenty of wagering news, including, how about yesterday, there was a pick five carryover. Gus took a swing, and you had a series. I'll talk about it with Johnny. Gulfstream West, you had a series of crazy prices, including a DQ with a price, but you also had a 80-1 shot, win the nightcap. So there's a $163,000 two-day pick five carryover Thursday at GPW Calder. Plenty more to talk about, and that includes certainly some thoughts and appreciation of the career of John Hertler, who has retired over the weekend. Dave Grenning with the news that John, who has been so courageous facing down Parkinson's. And John, as respected and loved as anybody on the backstretches of New York. As sweet a guy as there's been at the racetrack. Take a time out. We'll come back. Mike Keough and his great story with a breakthrough win to the grade two near Arctic city boy. Mike Keough next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888. 938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Surprise, surprise, so you rub your eyes. Never knew beauty, yes, so cool as eyes. Hit a bike then, built a stupefy. Ducks categorizes as hard cries. That's a lie, we know why we're occupiers. No words but obscure style, and these are high.
We're back at the races, about 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and I don't know if we don't really have statistical, Equibase keeps the stats, but we don't really have like a stats bureau. But if we created one of those next gen stats, I would create a stat, you know, based on typical number of starters that a trainer has, and there may not be a more successful horseman in North America who averages about 85 to 100 starts a year than Mike Keogh. It's uncanny, and it's been the case for a long time, and it's an absolute pleasure to have him join us after he sends out City Boy to a graded stake win in the Near Arctic, the grade two at a nice price. Mike, well done. Congratulations.
Thanks very much, Steve.
You know, it was funny because I had Ron Gierkink on Friday, and I tried to get Ron interested. I said, you know, I said, Keogh's got City Boy in here. I don't think he'd run him here. I think he's taking a shot while the horse is good. Was that the case?
Yeah, you know, you start before the rail was out in the forepath, I think it was, and he had an outside post, and he got hung five wide the whole way around the turn. And then he comes to make his move down the lane, and he got bumped, you know, and they ran in 7-2 that day. And I said to Jesse right after the race, you know, I nominated him to the Neotic on the off chance, because you get Belmont and Keeneland on at the same time with those winning your ins. I thought there was a chance this might come up a little soft. So I said that to Jesse. He said, I would do it. He said, I'd love to see this horse run back in a couple of weeks, you know, because he doesn't really want to go much further than 6 furlongs. So when the condition book comes out, the new condition book, it's usually 6.5 or 7, and then the next one is back to 6 again. So, he doesn't get to run that much.
Well, when he's running, and in this particular case, in this group, and for those that didn't see it, it's an absolute thriller with three horses, you know, basically, you know, bobbing. But you could see that he's got that steady finish. He's a little unusual. He for a horse that only wants to go five and a half, six, he kind of grinds a little bit.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's a very game horse. He gives you 100% every time.
He's a 5-year-old gelding, and of course, this is the estate of Gus Schickendanz, and you know, one of the big names in Canadian racing history. And you know, give us a little bit on that front too, Mike, and how the family is going forward.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd just like to say what a wonderful man he was. I mean, he did so much for me and my wife, and, you know, he's just a great guy and a great horseman, and we miss him dearly. Family-wise, Mr. Schickerdance, his wife, and the four daughters, but they don't really have much interest, so we're kind of winding it down slowly.
Wow.
The yearlings are going to be sold this year, which, yeah, it's a shame, yeah.
Oof, the broodmare, is there a dispersal planned?
There's a couple being sold at Keeneland and a couple here at Woodbine. You know, it's just slowly winding down. It's not all in one go, you know.
Well, since we went in this direction, I got to pursue it a little bit. I mean, reflect on some of those wonderful successes that you had for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I started for him 26 years ago. I was Roger Atfield's assistant for 8 to 10 years, and then I got this job with Gus. And little did I know when I started the job that one of the yearlings was a Danzig. Turned out to be Langford. And that was the best crop we ever had, actually. We had a bunch of good horses. Katie's Colleen, the dam of Wando Fur, she won the Monmouth Oaks, Northern Sky. Just a bunch of really good horses, you know.
You think about Mobile, right? Was
Iron Horse. I mean, they talk about Giant Causeway as being the Iron Horse. Well, he was Canada's Iron Horse. I mean, you know, I remember running him in the Vigil 7/8, and then coming back in the Dominion Day in 1.25, and he went by 12. You know.
And then you actually had the benefit of Langfuhr's produce with Wando.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know what a sire he. I mean, he never ever got bred to a Grade One winning mare. You know, I mean, he did it the hard way, blue collar horse. And if you look at his stats, phenomenal. And now he's doing great as a broodmare sire as well.
Now we had a Langfuhr filly that I was thrilled to acquire, and I had nothing but bad luck with her. But I had tremendous respect and thought the world of him. I didn't. That's amazing, actually. That I'll bring that up with Sid Fernando tomorrow. That he was never bred to a Grade One winning mare. That's almost bizarre to think about. That. As good as productive as he was. Wow. Well, to have a horse like this too, this City Boy, you know, as a gelding, will they let you go on with him from here and just let him?
Oh, yeah.
Let him run out his career.
Yeah. He'll be running next year. Yeah, and you know, I mean, with the turf season's nearly done here now, so. Nothing really here for him on the turf. I might try him on the Tapita. He's run well on it, but not quite as well as the turf, you know.
Well, and we should mention this was a significant, you know, a significant jump forward for him. You know, he hadn't. I think what he came in. He did run a 95 buyer on the Tapita, as it happens, in that money allowance back in November of last year. But
yeah.
This is his best on turf.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But, the way he is at the moment, and all things being good, we're probably running one more time. And, there is the Kennedy Road at the end of the season.
That's right.
I think it's November 24th or something like that. But, the only thing is that you might hook Pink Lloyd in there, and he's one tough dude.
Well, it's almost time for somebody to punch him in the nose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got a lot of respect for the horse and his trainer.
Oh, there's no doubt. But, I mean, Tiller's walking around like he owns the joint.
Well, he's a very proud man.
Big time. We've had fun. It's really quite something. What's also notable, I'm just looking down, and is it fair to say, and it's funny about you bring up Roger and your time with Roger, he, years ago, in a visit, and I forget the mare we were talking about, but he's the one who first said to me that persevering with fillies and mares into the fall after they've run inexplicably bad during a summer, he said to me that, there's a lot, particularly fillies and mares, that don't like the warm weather and you can't read more into it, and then all of a sudden the cooler weather shows up and they snap back or they take it to another level. And he feels like it's true of males, but Roger was talking specifically female, but it feels like he's a horse that gets better as the weather cools.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, every year he's the first one in the barn to grow his coat. I mean, when he ran the other day, he had the williest coat in the paddock, But it's just the whole family has been that way. I trained his mother, and she was the same way. It's just them. They get ready for winter early.
That's a topic I'm going to write down, because that's interesting. Well, the best part of that is that people who only bet on horses, if they look shiny and pretty and are dappled out, when you got one that's a little furry, they obscure how good they're doing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, interestingly enough, I ran one yesterday, and he was by far the best looking horse in the paddock. He was dappled out and shiny, and he ran dead last.
So those of you that base your handicapping on the paddock pick, tread lightly. We got to fold the human interest stories in here as well, Mike. And I'm sure I don't know how close you were in proximity to Jesse Campbell when he was interviewed after the race, but it was emotional, and part of it has to do with some of the health issues you're facing, and then with him having decided to retire. What a great way to really to wind down a career for Jesse Campbell.
Yeah, it was, and he's going to be sorely missed here. I mean, not only is he a great rider, which he is, but he's also a great person. He's a very nice guy, and so is his family. So, yeah, it's going to be a big loss for Woodbine.
I reach, we're going to reach out to Jesse later in the week, because I knew that Dennis Cooper, the longtime agent in the Midwest, and Dennis has handled him when he's stateside, and not when he's back over the border. But he got me Jesse's number, and how about for you too, Mike? I mean, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I was just in Germany at a homeopathic clinic, and they're quite happy with me. They told me my cancer is sleeping at the moment, which is good. I just hope he doesn't wake up.
Exactly. We wish you the best, and I was just tickled by this, and we hadn't spoken in a while, and so I really was eager to visit with you and congratulate you on this terrific win, Grade Two near Arctic, and the Chicken Dance family, and really it's a great way for the you know, to get toward the end of the season. How about a couple of 2 year olds? That'll always lift everybody's spirits.
Yeah. I got a nice one. He broke his maiden first time out a couple of weeks ago on the turf. Horse called Sea Forever. He looks like he could be a nice one for next year. We're going to put him away now and bring him back next year.
And you know, it occurs to me, and I'm glad you mentioned, Sea Forever, and we'll wait and look forward to what lies ahead. It happens to be another length here, as it happens, out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare, and
yeah.
write that one down. And he's already been gelded, but I mean, is he a potentially the sense of a Queen's Plate kind of a angle?
Well, yeah, we're definitely going to nominate him to it. I mean, he went on the turf the other day, but you know, you always have to look at the plate the next year when you get one win like that first time out, you know. I mean, my favorite part of his race was his gallop out. It was very impressive.
Well, and I also, I'm going to, now that you have alerted us to him, and I just want to take a peek, because I do have the Woodbine results from the last, that was the 28th. I don't know if I got to look it up and see what kind of a fig. Nice. Sea Forever. And there it is. All right. So a modest figure to start the career, but plenty of upside, and very nice. And Mike, finally, I gotta ask. I mean, if with the course of these events, are you taking on new clients?
Actually, no. But they're kind of few and far between up north here. It's not the same as down in the States, you know. You know, you've got so many racetracks, and obviously the population is much bigger. But no, I haven't had any inquiries, no.
Well, for those that are hearing Mike for the first time, you want to pull up his record. When I say that there might not be a more productive horseman the last 25 years that starts about 85 to 100 horses a year, has crafted a disproportionate percentage of stake runners. And with people knowing and hearing that, you know, that the circumstance around the Chicken Dan's estate, I'm sure that there'll be some inquiries.
Well, thanks very much, Steve.
Not at all. Mike Keogh and City Boy, who pops at 24-1, has never gone favored in his career, which I suppose is going to change soon. I imagine. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you having me on.
Not at all. Stay well. Mike Keogh, everybody, and City Boy. We're going to talk to Jesse Campbell tomorrow or Thursday as well, and talk about his career. If you didn't see, I circulated that interview. It was a bit of a heartstring puller. So if you haven't seen it, go to my feed. And obviously, if you are in and around Toronto, or you don't have to be Toronto, it could be anywhere, and you're looking for somebody to send a couple of horses to, you couldn't be in better hands. I mean, he's terrific. He's got an enviable record. We'll take a break. Top of the hour coming, and Johnny D. It's might as well be Monday. Johnny D joins us next. Later, Guy Torsiglieri will find out if I'm sure they've already identified this year's Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. But the first order of business is to talk about this fabulous card that they're going to run Saturday at Far Hills. It should be just great. Later, John White, Jeremy Plonk, and more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the sun on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Under the island, middle of the mountain, there is a big bad booming system. Blowing speakers, woofers and tweeters, amplifiers, melted wires. The party's exploded, chorus corroded, underground of Puget Sound. Causing a shifting and a drifting, big black boombox stuck in the hot rock. It's in there flowing, it's in there growing, I don't believe.
We're back at the races. A couple minutes into hour two, and with no Monday 10 o'clock, it has to be a Tuesday 10 o'clock for a Johnny D visit